Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
As we stand in awe of you today, we acknowledge that you are supreme. That you are supreme. There is none other than you. Deuteronomy 6 says, the Lord is one. The Lord is one. There is no other that comes before him. There is no other that comes before him. And I'm going to tell you, we all have doctrines in putting me first. Not me, you and me. Y'all get it, right? We all have doctrines. Because, I mean, nobody had to teach us. Out of the womb, we were saying, me. It's all about me. The children, you give them a new toy. The child next to them says, oh, that's mine. You go into a waiting room, a dentist's waiting room. I've done this. I'm talking from experience. And you're looking at the... you're looking at the other child who's about to take your child's toy away. And maybe your child says, okay, you can have that. I'll go play with what you're playing with. The other child says, no, I want that too. And I've seen Mama Bear come out in a few moms in dentist's office. You know what I mean? You see, because even Mama Bear says, that's about my child. Can I tell you? It's about Jesus. And that's not in our nature to do that. If that's not in our nature to say, you know, God, I know this is really all about you. It really is all about me. That's our nature. But that's a fallen man, and we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes, this fallen man thing. But it's fixed. It's repaired. I don't have a problem anymore. I have the solution in my life, and I'm hoping that you know that solution. It's not an arrogant thing, I promise you, because I'm a mess. No, ask my wife. I'm not being humble about it. Ask Gina. I am a mess. Try and live with me, why don't you? For any length of time, and you'll say, Gina, you are blessed of the Lord. And I don't mean to live with him. I mean blessed to be able to deal with him. It's the truth. We all have this mess. And out of this call, the grace of God, there's this call that I was able to answer a few years ago and simply say, yes, Lord, I'll make it about you. And by the way, Lord, if you remind me every day, it's a dying to myself every day. Lord, it is about you, the name of Jesus. And Lord, we acknowledge, God, it isn't about... Everybody repeat after me. This is the day. Come on, you can do better. This is the day. The Lord has made. I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. Why? Because it's about Jesus. See, when we walk in this room, can I tell you, some of us love to come to church because we get something out of it. We get something out. Do you know there's never a promise? Listen to me. You're going to get something. Don't misunderstand me. But the Bible says from the Old Testament to the New, it's not about getting something out of worship. I hate to shock all the assemblies of God, Baptists, Lutherans, Presbyterians, Catholics, give me some other ones. United Pentecostal Church. I think I said Catholic. It's not about all that denominationalism. This is about Jesus. And the Bible says in the Old Testament, we were to bring the sacrifice. I'm going to talk to you about that in a little bit. We were to bring the sacrifice. And once, every year, the high priest would go behind the veil and he would sacrifice for the people, for the forgiveness of their sin. Right, Pastor Harvey? Rabbi Harvey sitting over here, he knows what I'm talking about. This is personal for him and for his family. This is personal. But when Jesus went to the cross, Yeshua went to the cross once and for all, the living, perfect sacrifice for you and for me, he called me in under his blood and said, forever, forever mine, never to be separated from me. You see, that's the King I serve. And from that day on, he said, from that day on, from the New Testament on, listen to me. It wasn't about the sacrifice anymore, but the Bible says in the New Testament, the church is to bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. It's not about getting something when you come. When people say, I didn't get anything out of worship today, I say, well, you bring. You can't get if you don't sow. It's a biblical principle. If you sow, you reap. You bring nothing, you don't bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We're amazed that we get nothing, that we harvest nothing. I've never seen a farmer wait in his way, look out his kitchen window at the field that he didn't put any seed in this year. Can't wait till that crop comes up. Where's the corn? Yeah, where's the corn? Wife walks by. This is Gina. Did you put anything in the ground? That was the first 10 years of our marriage. And I finally got it. It's not about getting when you come to the house of God. You're going to get because you bring something into the house of the Lord with you. And it's an honest, contrite heart asking God, listen, I'm a mess. Would you do something with me? Because I bring you praise and adoration because you are God. If you're not used to church, I am so sorry. I know I'm radically crazy. I mean, people say, are you nuts? Yes, I'm nuts about you and I'm nuts about Christ. So give the Lord a huge hand. Will you do that? Yes. Give him your best. Come on. Give him your best. It is the wonderful, powerful name of Jesus. Woo. Let me apologize to you if you're not used to this. If you're not used to it, it's okay. But I want you to know something. Don't let this be a distraction to you. It's all about the Jesus, the real Jesus that we want to come to. Not about a religious Jesus. It's this real Jesus who really gave his life for you and for me and who rose 3 days later for you and I to forever be his. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Yeah, give him another hand. Give the band a hand. You guys are awesome. Thank you. Go ahead and have a seat just for a moment. Just for a moment. We have a great day. And welcome to St. Charles River Church. This is truly the day the Lord has made. We rejoice in it. We're glad in it. We believe that the Spirit of the living God is real and he is here today. Because he made a promise. At St. Charles River Church, if you don't know us, maybe it's your first time attending, we are stinking real around here. So I'm going to say it like this. Jesus said, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Now, he's either a liar, he's a nut. I'm just saying, you know, he believes all that. And he's not, he's a nut, or he's who he said he is. I can't find another category. If you can find one, you know, he's either a liar, a nut, or he's who he said he is. I'm just giving it to you in a quick shot here. Liars hide behind their lies because it benefits them to hide behind their lies. That's what liars do. They feel more secure behind a lie than they do the truth. So they embrace it and they lie. And so liars don't die for their lie. Seriously, when they're stretching his arms out to put the stakes, this is historically true, whether you believe he was Messiah and king or not, this is historically true. You don't even have to ask Bill O'Reilly. I'm just saying, he writes this book. God bless him for writing the book, but I knew that story anyway. But when he stretches his hands out, I mean, a liar does this. No, I was kidding. I won't say it anymore. I promise I won't say it anymore. Don't nail that screw, that hand. No. A nut may actually die for the untruth. Listen to me. A nut may actually, someone that's not right, may actually die for what they believe. I've seen people that really believe they were Jesus. But let me tell you something about that individual. They don't have thousands of witnesses who saw the blind man who was outside the gate for 20 years running around and not hitting walls anymore. You know, seriously, they don't see the cripple. They don't have anybody that saw the crippled person. Jesus had the witnesses to the crippled man getting up and legs being restored. The child that was dead in a man's home, and Jesus speaks life into him. The thousands of people that saw, thousands of people. Wouldn't you think there would have been one that would have come out and said, "No, we made that up. He didn't really feed 15,000 people. We made that up." Wouldn't you think somebody would, for the right amount of money, say, "We made that up"? Seriously. Wouldn't you think so? So, but a nut can't get witnesses that he actually rose again and they saw him. A nut can't get witnesses that he ascended in front of them. I mean, do you know how tight a lie that has to be for thousands of years? No, seriously, nobody can tell the missus that we really didn't see him. I mean, think that through. So a nut doesn't have the witness power that Christ had of all the miracles that took place. And the Bible says in the book of Acts, over 500 people testified to having seen the resurrected Christ. Nuts can't get witnesses like that. So it leaves me with only one more. He is who he said he is. King of kings, Lord of lords, Son of the living God, the one who died for you and for me and rose again on the third day. That's all I got left. So welcome to St. Charles River Church, the church that's crazy enough to believe that Jesus is who he said he is. And we just happen to believe that. If this is your first time attending, I want to ask you very quickly, if you'll begin to fill this piece of paper out, they're going to show it to you on the screen. This is a first time card that we would love for you to fill out if you would love for it to be placed in the offering bag. We don't want your finance. If you're a first time attender, we're not looking for your finance. Now, if you're a believer and God speaks into you, you're giving, then you ignore me and you obey God. And that's the freedom I'm giving you. But this is all I'm hoping that I will get from you today. This card, in just a few minutes, Pastor Mike is going to come up and he's going to receive the regular tithes and offerings. I want to give you a heads up about that. He is coming up right now to do that. So if you would, just begin. If you haven't had time to go ahead and prepare to give, this is our regular morning's tithes and offerings. At the end of this service, we have one of the most exciting offerings. In fact, it is, in my opinion, the most exciting offering that we will take all year long. It is the one day to feed the world offering that we have prepared you for several weeks now with Convoy of Hope. We are excited and we are going to partner today. If you don't know what this is, Convoy of Hope is one of the largest organizations around the world of relief and catastrophic care. In Katrina, President George W. Bush and Governor Bush were serving off a Convoy of Hope trailer of food before the Red Cross had actually assembled. If you don't know Convoy of Hope, they were in Japan before the Red Cross was serving food. They were serving food. They are still in Haiti. They were actually stationed in Haiti. When Haiti's tragedy came, they actually started serving and caring for people. And we have still to this day, we keep sending tons of missions teams like what we do in Panama to Haiti through Convoy of Hope. We've worked with Convoy of Hope Europe in Portugal. Three times we have worked with them in Wales. Some of you, how many of you went to Portugal with me? Stand up real quick. You went to Portugal with me. Stand up real quick. We've done it through Convoy of Hope. So this is an amazing organization. We've done Wales. I've done Belfast, Dublin. So Convoy of Hope is an organization around the world. We're going to show you a video at the end of this meeting that we're going to ask you to sacrifice one day's pay to feed the world. I met with Hal on Saturday. I had lunch with Hal, and he said, "Barry, are you serious? You're doing a one day..." He's the most humble guy you'll ever meet. We've had him here. He's a personal friend of this church. He said, "Are you serious? You're really doing a one day to feed the world on Easter?" I said, "Yeah, Hal, it's about giving. The church should be the most generous organization in the world today. It should be. But Christians are known for being cheap. I told you, I tell it straight. We're the cheapest tippers in a restaurant. We're the cheapest... We do. We don't even think about it. We how much do I have to leave? Oh, just leave a couple bucks. You know, waiters and servers tell me all the time they dread Sunday because the church people are coming. Jenny, am I right? That's right. That's right. Cracker Barrel. Jenny took care of me for years. Well, that's true. But I'm going to tell you, we're known for that. We're not going to be cheap today. We're going to give one day's pay to feed the world. The last thing we do before we leave this offering. Hal was so touched by that, he picked up his phone. He called his daughter in Springfield, Missouri. He said, "Sweetheart, I need 100 books. He had just written a brand new book. He said, "I want to give them away to the families of St. Charles River Church absolutely free. When you leave today, we're going to give you a book. Hal Donaldson's newest book. You're going to be touched by this book. I'm going to tell you a little more about it after Pastor Mike takes our regular offering. God bless you guys as you give.
So go ahead and...
And you give him a hand. Don't give me. Give the Lord a hand.
So as we have the welcome team come forward, and as Pastor Barry said, this is our regular time, this is our regular offering, which we normally do at the end of service. What's great about doing it right now is oftentimes we, when that music stops, we think that's when worship stops, and that's not the case at all, because this is just another form of worship. We're giving back to Jesus. We're giving back and because of how he has blessed us. And today we celebrate a Christ that had given his life on the cross, and then 3 days later rose up just as he said he would for our sins. He died for our sins. And so this is a time now that for us to give to him, and not only give to him, but as we're giving to him, we're pouring into others. So we just ask that you would be prayerfully considerate of what we're taking in today. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time to give back to you, for the way that you've blessed us, Lord. You've given us so many things, and all that you've given us is yours. And this is our time to give back to you for your work. And we just pray for your blessings over this offering. In Jesus' name, amen.
Cross, I find the beauty of your matchless grace. At the cross, I see a king who died to take my place. It's the moment that you made me clean and pardoned my soul. Amazing grace that I would be allowed into your throne. Not by my will, but solely by your will.
Think that 16,000 children die every day from hunger and water-related causes. But it doesn't have to be that way. With your help, we can truly save lives and we can restore hope. One child, one mother, one farmer at a time. We've seen hope restored for thousands and thousands of children, just like Sherry, who now can wake up every morning knowing she has access to nutritious food and clean drinking water. And we've seen hope restored for thousands of mothers like Maritza, who is now off the streets and she's running her own business and feeding her own kids. And we've seen thousands of farmers who've seen the yields of their crops, their flocks, their herds all increase significantly. And now they're growing enough food to earn a living and to care for their own families. It's so easy, though, to to look at the magnitude of the need and to tell ourselves that the problem is just too great. It's not. It's not. Together, we can change lives and give families a future. And by participating in One Day to Feed the World, you're doing just that. You're saying that you want to save lives and you want to invite God's blessing on your life too. And so today, on behalf of all the children, the mothers, the farmers, and all the families whose lives will be changed forever, thank you for caring and thank you for giving. God bless you. Your one day of kindness transforms their everyday.
Amen. Please be praying. Go ahead. Yes. Give the Lord a huge hand. Please be in prayer about that, because before we leave, we're going to take that offering. So I'm going to go right on into what I believe God's heart is for us today. Every believer ought to be known as a generous person. Because I said every believer. See, you can make this a long day if you don't say something. Every believer, the Christian, ought to be known as the most generous person in the world. Seriously, still only got 50% of you. I said the believer should be known as the most generous people in the world. Wouldn't it? Yes. Wouldn't it be amazing if all of those servers that Jenny worked with at Cracker Barrel would sit on Sundays? Awesome! The Christians are coming! Wouldn't that, it'd be unusual. But wouldn't it be great if all of a sudden the Christians are coming? I can't wait. They are some of the nicest, cleanest. They don't let their kids destroy the table. See, it's more than money. It's actually kindness and consideration. It's a whole lifestyle of generosity that so mirrors, who am I describing? Jesus. It so describes, oh, you ran out of wine? Okay, yeah, Mom, I got this. Don't worry. It's okay, I'll make some more. It's okay. Yeah, and you go over and you make some more wine for the party. It was the best. It was much better than they were serving before. And Jesus says, I'll serve you. That's okay. That's okay. I'll serve you. Oh, sit down. I want to wash your feet. No, no, no. You're Jesus and Peter. No, you are. I am not worthy to have you wash my feet. Then you can't be a part of my kingdom, because I'm trying to show you that in order to be a part of this kingdom, you got to serve people. John 13 says, all men will know by you're my disciples by the way you love one another. It's not a checklist. I go to church, you know, I don't beat my wife. Well, I was really mean to her that day, but I didn't beat her. And I don't commit adultery. I think about it a lot, but I didn't do it. I think Jesus covered that one, didn't he? If you even lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. I think Jesus covered that one. You see why? Here's the reason. It's a heart issue. It's not a legalistic issue. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. He didn't say it the other way around. If you keep my commands, you'll love me. No, not at all. He said, it's the result of loving me is you're going to live like me. You're going to look like me. You know, you look just like your daddy. You ever hear that phrase? You look just like your mama, Pam. Have you ever heard? I mean, can you think about that? Why? Because you are her. You are the product of your mom and dad. That's why we ought to look like our father. And people should say in restaurants, servers should say, wow, I can tell you're a Christian. Because you actually give and you're kind and you're considerate. And oh my goodness, the table looks fantastic when you leave. Am I challenging anybody? But see, the problem is, and I'll go back to last week, man has a sin problem. Man has a problem that thousands of years ago, somewhere, I happen to believe in the creation. I'm not offended by someone who differs with me. Honestly, I'm not. I give license for lots of different opinions about that, because that's not the issue. The issue is Christ. So yes, you can be a Christian and think differently. I love that when people say, you can't be a Christian and... Really? What Bible are you reading? Jesus gave his life so that all could come to know him. And there's a lot of different opinions about a lot of different eschatology and pre-evolution or pre-creationism or whatever it is you believe. There's a lot of opinions about that, but there's only one thing that will bring us into the presence of God. And listen to this about what Jesus said. This is in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus is dealing with people that are just tired. They're just tired. Anybody tired? Anybody got kids? Okay. Anybody got a husband? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's not Mother's Day. I'm sorry. It's not Mother's Day. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and of earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned. By the way, some of the smartest people I know don't love God. Seriously. The why, I mean, they're just all full of head knowledge. By the way, some of them went to Bible college. You getting my drift? It's not about not being a church attender, not being a... No. This is about being arrogant of myself. I am smart. I am wise. I am learned. Do you know that they were called the Pharisees and the Sadducees? And they were always trying to trick Jesus in the law. They were always asking him legal questions because they were trying to trick him up because they were smarter than he was. And one portion of scripture actually said, and they stopped asking him questions after that because he came back with such an amazing answer. It just shut him up. So he says, he goes on to say, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. Verse 27 says, all things have been committed to me by my Father. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And then he makes this all-encompassing invitation that I want to pass on to you. This isn't my invitation. This is his invitation. I'm not even speaking for him. I'm going to let Jesus speak for himself. And this is the invitation I want to give to you on behalf of Christ today. In verse 28, he said, come to me, all. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find... This is the Creator. And he just said, I am humble in heart. This is the one who could say, if you only knew what I did. Think about that. He's the one that threw the stars in, threw another one out, threw another star out. He's the one who could say, if you only knew what I do. This is what Jesus said. For I am gentle and humble in heart. Look like me. Look like me. If you're impressed with your PhD, I'm not. Look like me. If you're impressed with your master's, I'm not. Look like me. And you will find rest for your souls if you come to me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me give you the picture real quick. Real simple, quick picture. This yoke thing, talking about this, putting a, this, you ever seen this, the yoke, how they yoke two animals together? It has two head holes, They'll put a calf or a younger, oftentimes with a more mature bull. Because the bull has been through the fight before, knows how to till. It knows how to push and pull through a field. That grown bull has experience. He knows how to do a straight line. He knows when the master pulls this way, you go left. And when he pulls right, you go right. That experienced bull leads the team. And they'll put an unexperienced calf in there to train it. And it's going for the ride. It's just kind of going for the ride. Because I ain't doing any work. He is. Because he's doing the hard work. Can I tell you, the reason he says, my burden is easy, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light, is because he already did the whole work. He said at the cross, it is finished. Get in the other side, stick your head in, and enjoy the ride. I've done the work. You don't have to work hard. Seriously, love me. What did Jesus say? The two greatest commands are, Barry, it ain't that easy. No, I didn't say that. I said he did the hard part. That's what I said. It's not easy. He did the hard part. And he said, now I'm giving you this invitation. Stick your head in with me and watch what I'll do. I will do the hard stuff. You don't have to fight it. You won't have to work. What did he tell Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 19? The man rose up and he said, oh, king, this is what the Lord is saying to you. Go out, pick up your positions. There were three armies about to slaughter Judah. And he says, take up your positions, go on out there, just take up your positions and watch the hand of the Lord. Because here's the deal. Dude, you're not going to have to fight the battle because the battle's not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Because he's going to do the hard part. And so what does he do? He puts these guys in positions that they can witness the hand of God. What if they'd have said, just stay in the camp and just trust that I'm going to slaughter them? By the way, what he did was he confused the three armies. They thought they were attacking Judah, and they started attacking each other, and they killed each other. They had this pack. We're going to go kill Judah, the people of God. And so God confuses them, and they kill each other as they come through the valley. And yet God says, what I want you to see is my faithfulness. I don't want you to just hear about it. I want you to see it. So send the men out to take up their positions, get like they're going to fight. You're not going to have to fight because the battle is not yours. So stick your head in the other side of the yoke and walk with me. You're going to have a journey that is amazing. The problem is, seriously, many of us are still trying to fight the battle. And can I tell you what the battle mostly is? Honestly, did you know, can I get a chair up here? And give me something to use as a footstool. The problem is we don't know who we are. I didn't tell Pastor Mike I was going to do this. Can I have that table cleared off real well and bring it up here? Bible says that God, when Christ finished the work, he ascended into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of the Father because he said it's finished. Thank you, guys. He said it's finished. Now, I'm doing this in the light of the cross that's behind me because we're going to do something with this cross. He said it's finished. And he said at the right hand of the Father, and he said, my enemies have become a footstool to me. You know who his enemies are? Your enemy. Get that. Anything that comes against you, he got under his feet. And he's got it under his feet for a reason, because he's going to crush it someday. He's going to crush it someday. He's going to crush it someday. He put his feet on that, and every enemy you have is under the king's feet. And why would you fear it anymore? You got a drug addiction? You got a porn addiction? I get real. You got some kind of something that you're battling with, prescription medication issues, cigarettes that you've been wanting to kill just because of a health issue. It may or may not be a spiritual conviction. There's something that you're wanting that is just killing you. And your past. You see, one of the greatest enemies we have that God has said he's going to crush is our past. Bible says our sins, he has cast as far as east is from the west, and he's got his foot on it, your past, and it can't rise up against you. Our past is probably the greatest enemy we have. Well, Barry, you don't know what I've done. No, I don't. But I know where it is. It's under his feet. It is under his feet. And he's got his head on it like he does a snake. And he's going to kill that snake one day. He has authority over it, and so do you. The problem is we don't know that when he said he died for our sin once and for all, he meant once and for all. Remember I said the priest had to go in every year to kill an innocent animal for the sin of Israel, for all of the people. They had to do that regularly. About the only people that really get this, unless there's someone else in here that's a Jew, a Jewish family, other than, I believe Pastor Harvey may be the one guy that really gets this. To the Jew, it was relief. To the Gentile, we're like, what sacrifice? What are you talking about? Because we never lived under the law. We didn't. We lived ignorant of the law because the law was for God's people. But when Jesus came, he said, it's my will that none should perish. Come unto me, all of you. And I'll put your enemy right under my feet. And nothing in your past can hurt you ever again. Why? Because that, listen, it's a done thing. It's not a one day it's going to be thing. He's got his foot on it because he's cast it as far as east is from the west, never to be remembered. Anything that goes into the box called the sea called forget never comes back out of that box again. He's got his foot on it and it's going to be thrown into a pit one day. And the enemy will never be able to use it against you. But by faith, we have to deal with that today. And trust that somewhere along the line, you mean forgiveness is really for everyone. I'll tell you quickly. On the day the man who killed my older brother, on his 28th birthday, he was a drunk driver. I've told some of you the story, you know the story, but I want to share this with you. We were in court a year after my brother was killed, and my mom was sitting there with me on the prosecution side, and the attorney for his, I know his name, I won't call it, the attorney for this gentleman was sitting over there, and it was just him, Eddie was the first name, Eddie and his attorney, that was all that was sitting over there. And my mom looked at me, she said, go ask. Her first words were, he doesn't even have a mother that will sit with him. He doesn't even have a mother that will sit with him. Then she said, go ask if I can sit with him. I said, Mom, they're going to let you within 10 feet of that guy. You may kill him. No, he needs a mom that'll sit with him. So I asked and they said, no, no. But I learned something about grace that day. I learned something about mercy that day. I learned something about compassion that day. When the mother of the young man on his 28th birthday that was killed has compassion and says, but by the grace of God, that could have been BJ sitting right over there. Because 1 year ago, that's the lifestyle he was living. You get that? You see, grace, he said, come unto me, all of you. See, forgiveness is for Eddie too. Forgiveness. I can't tell you how many times I know my dad prayed for Eddie. Prayed for Eddie's salvation. Prayed that God would help Eddie. Prayed that God would speak into Eddie's heart and that he would be a new creature in Christ Jesus. You see, Eddie had a past. And I pray today, Lord bless Eddie. Don't let that stop him from knowing you. I want you to take that piece of paper and I'm going to ask you real quick. Everybody got a piece of paper at your chair? Every one of us have a past. Every one of us, including me. We all have a past. Mike, could I get a pen? If you can throw me that pen, that's great. Thank you. I'd like for you, now listen to me. I'm very sensitive to this issue. I really am. I'm very sensitive to it. I'm going to give this table back to you guys. I want to get stuff out of the way. I'm sensitive to the issue of I don't want to write something down that someone's going to read. If it's an issue that is incredibly sensitive to you in your past and you've never really dealt with it or you've never really trusted that God forgave you and gotten through it, you're not going to get past it. You will get through it though. If you've never really done that, all I want you to do, and you're too embarrassed to write what it is, all you have to do is put this. God knows. That's all you got to do. I want to make this real simple for you. You don't have to come to Christ on my terms. It isn't about my terms. Jesus did the hard part. We get the amazing part of just believing, simply trusting him. I want you to write down whatever that issue is, whatever it is that's holding you back from giving your life completely over to Jesus Christ. And maybe you're a Christian. Maybe you are a follower of Christ already, but you're still dealing with that one issue. That one issue, maybe I shouldn't have said things to people. Maybe it's my temper. Maybe it's just I've been selfish all of my life. Whatever it is. You know, we have these top 10 things in our minds. Can I tell you something? God wants to eliminate any top 10 and just tell you something. I love you beyond any top 10. You're not that good. Your sin's not that good. The grace of God, the cross is that good. The cross is that good. That's what he said. It's once and for all. Seriously, you ain't getting at it any better. You'll never improve the cross. And it's not going to get worse. It is the greatest gift to man. It's the greatest love story man has ever known. That Jesus came through a virgin birth. That he lived 30 years before he started his ministry. John, his cousin, baptized him. John the Baptist. And 3 years, he lived in ministry, serving people. That's the Jesus we need to be like. There's something that's holding us back from completely giving our lives over to Christ. Whatever it is, I just want you to write it down. And this is what I want you to do. Turn it face forward. Nobody needs to see it. There are four nails. If you've been here before on Easter, you know what we do. There are four nails here. I just want you to pick a nail, and I want you to pop it. And I'm going to ask everybody, we're just going to play some music. And when you get done, go right back to your seat, and we're going to dismiss after the offering. Go right back to your seat if you would. You're going to come up this center aisle. You're going to disperse and go to the right or to the left down the aisles on the outside, and go right back to your seat if you would. Our ushers are going to help you come up the aisle. They're going to stand on each side of this, and they're going to make sure everybody gets up safely. I'm going to ask everyone, if you would, just to begin in the center sections, just begin to make your way forward. Whatever you wrote down, just take it to the cross and leave it there. It's a picture of bringing it to the cross. It's all about Jesus. It is all about Jesus. Hey, sweetie. I want to hug. Love you. Heavenly Father, we bring it to you and we leave it there. We leave it there. Let me assure you, as soon as this service is over, one of my team's going to come up and completely destroy those pieces of paper. Nothing will ever be read because it doesn't exist. Did you get that? Because it doesn't exist anymore. There's nothing to read. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we give all of these things to you. We give all of these things to you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, as far as the east is from the west, as far as east is from the west, in Jesus' name, we give it all to you, God. This is all yours. From this day, again, from this day forward, you will never, unless you bring it up and you go fishing into the sea called forget. And we do that often. But let me issue this warning. It's not your sea to fish in. There's no fishing signs all over this lake. There's no trespassing at this lake. You go in there, you're stealing somebody else's fish. Christians ought to honor those kind of signs. You honor those in real life? Then honor God's no fishing sign. Don't go back to that lake and fish. Because those things you just allowed God to cast into the sea called forget, he said never to be counted against you. It's either true, remember, he's either a liar, a lunatic, or exactly who he said he is. And I believe, and so do we, because the Bible teaches he's exactly who he said he is. The risen Savior who set me free. Everybody stand up just for a moment. Everybody stand up and say, Jesus, Jesus, set me free. Jesus set me free. Say, he set me free. He set me free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Give him a shout. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He not only is risen, but it actually means something. He's not only risen and alive, it actually means something. You are free. You are free. You are free. Somebody walked by me up onto this platform that had been sick a lot lately. Walked by me and she said, I've been healed. I have been healed. Had somebody not long ago in our services was pouring out to God saying, God, I don't want this habit in my life. She was set free of a habit. She was set free of a habit. His resurrection power matters to you and to me. I'm not saying go get religious. I'm saying be like Jesus. Do you understand? I don't understand it completely. I'm being completely honest with you. I don't totally get it. I keep reading it going, oh, I never saw that before. I've never seen that before. Oh, but he just showed that to me. Another revelation, because he loves me. It's a living, breathing revelation, the Word of God is. Don't look at it as the top 10 rule book. It's a set of love letters that's beyond anything you've ever seen. He loves you. He loves you. I say he really loves you. And he said, I'm warning you about some things, because those things will destroy you. I'm warning, I'm giving you a warning, that thou shalt not. You did it to your kids too, didn't you? Don't you cross that street. My mom, even if hell freezes over. Now, I used to say, even if the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. Well, now I can't say that. But listen, you set rules for your children because you didn't want them hurt, because you loved them. There's a guideline in here of thou shalt nots, but there's a whole lot more. Come unto me, baby, because I'm going to make you something that you can't even imagine. You come unto me, you watch what happens to you. You're going to breathe, and you're going to breathe air you've never breathed before. You're going to run like you've never run before. You're going to be cancer-free, Vera, like you've never been cancer-free before. And you are, by the way. Vera is cancer-free. Doctors have said it, not me. Those are the things I will do if you will just run with me. Stick your head in the other side of the yoke. Stick your head in there. It's a partnership. Do you get that? You get that picture? It's a partnership. It's not just about you going out there and saying, oh, I think I'll go do some field work now. No. Partner with Christ. He'll do the work. It's an amazing thing. Now that ought to translate. There are children today around the world. I've seen them. Some of you that have been on our missions trips, we've seen them. They're fortunate to get any rice in a day. I've seen it. Honest before God, I've seen it. I've gone to those nations where they're just fortunate to have a meal. Convoy of Hope is stationed around the world. I told you a few weeks ago, I was on the bus with Hal in Portugal when a wealthy man from the United States called Hal. And he said, Barry, I got to take this call. I said, dude, take it. Good. Have a seat. Go ahead and have a seat. I said, Hal, take the call. He took it. There was a man that called him from California. He was affiliated with an NFL franchise. He said, Hal, I got food to feed 500,000 people. Non-perishable items. You need to come get it. You got 30 days to come get it. Hal said, let me get off the phone. Thank you. Food to feed 500,000 people. Think of how big this organization is. It's one of the biggest in the world. Stationed food around the world, ready to go for catastrophic. But it's not just for catastrophic. They've moved into the just poor communities. And Sherry, you've been there. We've done Convoy of Hope together. We've seen Convoy acres and acres and acres. Convoy goes in and gives free health care. Convoy goes in and gives free dental. Acres and acres. Brad Pitt's brother was on this trip with me in Portugal, Doug Pitt, and he was representing the family. That's the kind of influence. The 49ers, San Francisco 49ers, are all in. They're going to Haiti this summer with Convoy of Hope. NFL, Hollywood. Everybody believes that children should be fed. See, I'm not mad because someone who thinks different than me actually happens to be compassionate. We'll take it because it's still the right thing to do. I don't care what your political affiliation is or lack thereof. I don't care what your religious affiliation is. If you're a Muslim sitting in this room today, you believe people, children need to be fed. If you're an Indian in this room today, you believe people ought to be fed. Children ought to be fed. If you're a Mormon, if you don't even like me, you still believe children ought to be fed. Would you do this? I promise you. Every bit of this will go to, every bit of this, 100% will go to Convoy of Hope to feed children around the world. You saw the video. That was Hal Donaldson. Hal gave me, he sent those 100 books. The ushers are ready at the back door when we leave today. You're going to get a book per family that is sent as a gift from Hal on Saturday to you. Please read it and understand something. This is not a religious book. This book is written to reach the world with compassion. He said, Barry, I've had Christians criticize me because I quoted Ellen DeGeneres in it. I quoted people that they just don't like their thoughts and opinions or lifestyles. And I said, Hal, God loves every one of us. He said, thank you, Barry, for saying that. He said, because these are precious friends of mine. And he said, I don't qualify people when it comes to compassion. If you want to support Convoy of Hope, I don't care who you are, because it's about feeding children and clothing them around the world. And I embrace Hal for that. I love Hal because he's willing to reach into a community of Hollywood, of sports figures around the world. He's got teams in Madrid that are supporting Convoy of Hope. And today I'm asking you, will you give one day's pay to feed the world? Pray about that because we're going to receive it. Ushers, if you'll come forward right now. You've seen the video. I've seen it. Gene and I have actually been in Convoy of Hope projects. And I'm telling you, it was the biggest one I saw in Lisbon as they're coming forward and as you're writing checks. We do take credit cards, by the way. If you don't have a check with you or cash, Pam will be available. Our cafe, we have, you're able to swipe your credit card there in the cafe. If you'd like to give that by faith, by credit card, we can do that. But I watched, there were acres and acres into acres. I mean, thousands of people. We reached over 12,000 people in 5 days in that city of Lisbon. And they would pour in. They'd bring their children in. They would go to attorneys' tents, free legal care to help them get citizenship because they were illegal people living in Portugal. There were three tents. There was an adult tent. I preached 9 times in 2 days in the adult tent. People coming to grow. Were you guys there with us in Portugal? You weren't there. Preached 9 times through an interpreter in 2 days. In the adult tent, there was a children's tent, and they're hearing the gospel. Thousands of children. And there were like 6 of those a day. Thousands of teenagers. I mean, the most rockin' Christian bands. Convoy goes in and just massively takes a city. And they get volunteers of doctors, lawyers, hairstylists. I've cut hair also on these trips. I cut Pastor Mike's hair on a Convoy of Hope trip. So, and did I cut yours too, Karen? Okay. I'm sorry. But this is about feeding children and meeting needs around the world. It's the most amazing organization that you'll ever give to. And I promise 100% will go to it. Heavenly Father, as we give this one day to feed the world offering, I pray you'll receive it in the name of Jesus Christ on this Resurrection Sunday, which means to us new life, a life of faith and a life of generosity and compassion towards people, just the way you showed me generosity and compassion at the cross 2,000 years ago. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you sacrifice.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.